It's Thursday night. It's drawn 10, lost 18. And hopefully, at a push of a button, this should be a friend of the show. Hello, Tony.
Hello, mate. You well?
I'm very good, sir. How about you?
Yeah, I literally just walked in my house. I've just rushed down from training to get it. So, yes, I'm okay. Sorry I couldn't come on the show, mate. You know I'm a big fan of you and the show, but as you can imagine, training's quite important at the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
So I've just got to concentrate on that. So hopefully with a bit of luck later in the year, if everything goes well, I can come in and we can have a bit of banter.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there is a bit of banter. Shall we start off with that first? Because a certain person that's a friend of yours and a friend of mine, he's sunning himself in some stripper's beach over in Portugal. And, of course, he's actually sent me a text tonight and said, you've got to make sure you ask Tony this. So
I know what you're going to say straight away.
Well, this is what he's put. He says, OK, ask Tony Russell to tell you the story of when he played for me and scored and then ended up owing me money.
See, Mr. McMahon is... he started this... When I was playing, obviously, it's like anything. The better you do, the better you do out of it. Personally, that's in every walk of life, is work or football. And I initially started, and he was number two at Thamesmead, and then I went on, and well, we always remained friends. And then I broke my leg, and I was coming back from injury. So he sort of contacted me and just said, look, would you mind? They just got into the Ryman League the first year, and I think they had a bit, they were just struggling a little bit, not massively, but they were hovering in and around the relegation. And he said, I think we needed two wins, and we'll be fine, because you come in and just help us out and just shore up at the back and that. And I said, yeah, of course I will. If I can help out, I will. So, you know, we agreed the terms, etc. So anyway, I've gone down there, and I didn't know this rule that apparently had always been at Thamesmead that, if you're on the bench, you only got £10. That's how it worked then. So I played. It was I played the week before and we'd won, and that was enough to keep up. But I needed a hip operation. I'd actually torn my hip, but I was prolonging it to the end of the season. So I said to him after the game, I said, "Look, Keith, if it'd be all right, mate, can I not play next week? I know that Wingate and Finchley away, you're already safe." I said. He said, "Yeah, that's fine." He said, "But I know you're doing your coaching badges. Would you want to come and do the warm-up, take the warm-up? And I think the boys will respond well to it." So I said, yeah, of course I will. So I went to the game. And in the warm-up, one of the players got injured. So then he said to me, "Tan, can you go on the bench?" So I said, yeah, that's fine. I said, that's fine. So I went on the bench. And then they were losing 2-0. And he said, "Can you come on?" So I was like, "Oh, all right, I'll come on." So I've come on and scored. I can't even remember the final result. But I remember, anyway, the game's finished. And I've got on the coach. And on the way back, they were playing this crazy game with, like, letters. Like, if someone pointed you to you, you had 10 seconds or 5 seconds to think of whatever they said. So, for instance, if you said, someone turned to you, it wouldn't even look at you and just spin round on a circle and go, P, boy's name, 5, 4, 3. And if you didn't say that within 5 seconds, it was a £2 fine. And obviously, I'd had a few drinks after the game. It was like, it's the end of the season, it was sunny, so I had a few pints, and you know, your brain's not working how it should. So I just kept getting done, and then so I think I got done for about 18 quid, and I got off the coach, and I was like, and then the following week, I thought, well, that's all right, like, you know, I'll pay me a fine next week when I get me money. So I got my money, well, give me the envelope with my name on it and everything, and but when I opened it, there's nothing in there, like zero. So I'm like, what? So I've gone, pulled the kids one side, I said, "Keith, can you explain to me why I've got nothing?" He says, yeah, he says, "It's only £10 if you're on the bench, regardless of what you're on. And also, the club have got this thing, if we get a coach, every player's got to pay £10. So you haven't got no money." So I said, what, you just decided just to put an envelope in there? He said, yeah. And he just started cracking up. So I said, but I actually got down for 18 quid on the coach. So he said, I must be the first person to ever have got you to play football for minus 18 quid. And he dines out on that story. But every time I meet someone who spoke to him, he tells him. He loves it. I've got a few stories on McMahon, but not for the radio. But for another time, Dave, I'll tell you all about them.
Happy days, yeah. We'll have that show. Yeah. So, I mean, you've gone up this year, Tony. I mean, had a fantastic season last year and gone up. I mean, when you've gone into the Prem, has it been tougher than you expected it to be, or was it exactly as you expected it to be when you went in there?
It's an odd one because obviously we went back to back. So you've got a set of boys there that have exceeded, even, I mean, without blowing my own trumpet, probably me as a person exceeded even what the club ever imagined when they come in for me and they were fifth in the Kent League in November, and then a year and a half later they're in the Run Prem. So you can imagine it moves so quickly. So we sat down in the summer and me and Razor felt that the players who got us there deserved that right to have a go at it. It wouldn't have been right morally for us to go on, well, thanks for getting us this far, but we're now going to bring in eight players and, you know, and just and do that. We said that these boys have earned the rights, and many of them had not even played in the Ryman League, let alone the Ryman Prem, so Div 1, let alone the Prem. So, and then we went into it. We had a bit of a dodgy pre-season. We had a couple of games called off at home. There was a problem with the ground. We was in between groundsmen, so the ground wasn't done. So we missed a few pre-season. I always felt we was a little bit behind in pre-season, if you know what I mean. We always felt that we was a couple of games. We needed a couple more games. We're still looking at people. Like, we played Tunbridge Angels away and two people made their debut. And for a team that do so much work on shape and playing, because we do a lot of passing, it wasn't ideal. And we were awful. We played Tunbridge Angels and we looked like a pub team. We're trying to play from the back and it was horrendous. It was probably the worst performance I've ever seen. And then the following game, this one thing I say about this league, good teams come thick and fast. There ain't no out. There ain't no game where you can play against a side maybe are not so good and you can just get going again. And we had Mason on the Tuesday, straight after that. So we played Tunbridge Angels away on the Saturday, was all over the place, and then played Mason at home, who were a power out. I mean, they're a powerful side, powerful club. You know, they've got names and people who have played in conferences. And we lost 2-0, but we were better. And it sort of went from there. Then we played Hendon at home and played really well. I mean, really, really well. It's the best we've played the first half. We've hit the woodwork a couple of times. And their first shot on goal right on half time, we'll find ourselves 1-0 down. And you can see the players thinking to themselves, what have we got to do in this league to win? I mean, we played so well. The guys had one chance. And then we were trying to say to the players, you know, it don't work like that. It's just football. Because if every striker in this league scored with every chance he got, he wouldn't be in the Ryman Prem, he'd be in the Barclays Prem. So it's that reassurance, and we've got such a bad start. I was naive as well, as a coach and a manager. I was a little bit naive. I was too gung-ho in the sense that I was sort of adamant, no, we're doing it this way, we're going at them. You know, we scored 119 goals, I think, last year, and we're going to stay on the front foot, where sometimes when you go away from home, you need to show the respect that deserves. And, you know, maybe be a little bit more tighter and try to nick them on the break rather than go, we're going to dominate the ball and dominate them. So the first half of the season was a learning curve for everyone. But I think if you look at our form since Christmas, it's better. And even the whole season, no one's ever, if you look at the scores, it's always 3-2, 1-0, 2-1. We're just learning lessons as we go. Harsh ones as well. But I must say, it's I know it sounds a bit stupid, but it's the most I've enjoyed football, because I've only been a manager for 3 years and I've had success from the get-go. But sometimes you find out a little bit more about yourself and your team when you're not doing so well, and can you still motivate and can you still coach and with enthusiasm and passion? And we have. The morale's never dipped in this camp. We've never, ever. We had a period of where we lost 4 games in a row, but we never looked like a team that's beaten. I'm sure if you have people coming in on your show, if you ask them, we don't turn up and people just roll us over. It doesn't work like that. I mean, we've come off a good run and we played Met Police, and I read the manager's programme notes, and he said, BCD, really good side, passing side. We drew 1-1 at their place and was very lucky to do that. Really, they should have won. And we've come away losing 1-0, and we shouldn't have lost that game. We should have won. So we've come away with Met Police playing them twice, only got 1 point, when the reality is, in the context of both games, we should have got more out of it, but we didn't.
I've just seen Tone, you know, from the end of November, you know, and you work all the way through to the present day, there's only one game that you've actually been beaten by more than one goal, you know, and, you know, if you've actually lost, you know what I mean, and which was a 2-0 against Hornchurch,
yeah,
you know, and everything else is within one or a draw. Literally all the way back, right?
But if you look at the Hornchurch game, the 88th minute and 94th minute goals,
yeah.
It's only because right at the end we had to really push on. That was game that's exactly my point. We've been in so many games where we should have got something out of it, but we didn't because we were a little naive, whether it was a missed chance or not clinical in the final third or not defended properly. That's what I mean. It is a learning curve, and but it's one that I think we're getting better as it goes, all of us.
Well, you've got some games coming up. I mean, you've got what, double header against Grays Tuesday and Saturday, and then looking at the, you know, then going.
Got Peacehaven Saturday.
Yeah, so Peacehaven Saturday, yeah, and then it's Grays, and then you've got three games, which are probably all 6-pointers, I suppose, in the area you are, with Harrowborough, Lewis, and Bury Town.
Yeah, but what I will say is, if you look at all the sides, Harrowborough and people like that, Hornchurch, they're all really good sides. Like that, you'd look at the table and you think, I think it's easy to look at it and go, oh, they're second from bottom. They're not a very good side, and then they turn up and they've got. And they're a good side. They're a really, really good side. Mm. And it's weird because some styles suit different people. And we played Hendon away a couple of months ago and drew 1-1. We should have beat them. And they're a fantastic side. But then we'll play at home to Harrowborough and they'll cause us more problems. You know, it's hard to judge, just look at league tables and go, yeah. Because we played Kingstonian, who are a fantastic football club, fantastic football team. We've got 4 points of them. We beat them away, and rightly so, and drew them at home too. Leeston, we beat them away. We drew them at home. You know, they're all good sides. We just beat Dulwich Hamlet away. Fantastic side. So I don't think you can look at it like that, if I'm honest. I don't think you can look at it and go, oh, yeah, they're down there, so we've got a chance. You just got to, every game on its merit, and just plan for it, and just go for it. You can't look at, you know, they're going to be easier because they're not. They're not. They're going to pose their own problems. And Peacehaven will. Peacehaven are just keeping their noses above water. But we spoke about the other week. We beat Drew Leeson at home, and we beat Hampton and Richmond, and we beat Dulwich Hamlet. And by doing that, we've sucked in about three or four clubs that probably thought they were out of it. We've ended up, because Hornchurch are on a good run as well. So we've ended up sucking people in. So now all of a sudden it's not three or four. Peacehaven, if we was to beat Peacehaven Saturday, all of a sudden they're now going to start getting twitchy. And we've had it all season. We've dealt with it all season. We've been in the round of, I think 1 week we was out the relegation zone. And we're comfortable with that now. It's just something that we've got used to. If someone drops into it now who hasn't been it all season, that's harder to deal with.
Yeah. Well, I did see your TV interview. It was very good.
Yeah, I think I've got more of a face for radio, if I'm honest.
Our mate's just texted again. He's just said, he'd tell him I know more stories too, but I won't tell him. He said, make sure they get 3 points on Saturday.
No, he's a top man, Keith. I've known him a long, long time. We go back since I was a kid. He's a good man, and you know he'll be back in football pretty soon. I'm pretty sure he's too much of a good manager to do that. And he's someone, you know, I think when you're managing style, you cherry pick off of people you've played under, you know, and there's certain elements to what he does, even though we play a slightly different style of football. But one thing I've took off him is his work ethic. I remember he'd always, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if he's not at training, he's watching a game. If it's a Wednesday, he's going to watch a game. He's always out. He's always working, you know. So when I went into the management, I looked at that and thought, I've got to work as hard as that. So I always go out, and sometimes we'll just bump into each other at a ground, and I'll be walking along the ground, and I'll have someone to shout some abuse at the up at the terrace, and it'll be him sitting up there. So, you know, that's one thing that I've definitely learned off him, and he's fully committed. And I know it's hard for him because he's so committed to suddenly go from so committed to doing nothing. He's pulling his hair out. So I see him on a Saturday morning because he's a little boy. He runs a VCD young inside, and so do I with my little boy. So we always see each other Saturday morning. And I can see it. He's tearing his hair out. He just wants to get back in the game. And like I say, but there's a few guys. I spoke to Jody last week. Me and Jody had a good chat on the phone. And he's another one. It's a shame when you speak to these managers, good managers out of the game, because there ain't that many positions. It's not like a game of football, you know. You need two centre-halves or you need, you know, a cover. If you're a manager, there is only one position, and we're all fighting for the same ones. And It's hard, but
yeah. I mean, he's just said he's also he's a top coach and manager gutted that I missed tonight. Is what he's put on there. So we'll have to get you in once, even if it's after the season.
No, you don't. You don't need that on your show. Let me tell you, you don't need it because it would be carnage. And if he was there now, it would be carnage. So it's the best thing we ever done is getting him out into Portugal as far away from me and this show as possible because he would drive me mad.
it is one of those things though, because I mean, with Keith, I mean, not being funny, you know, I was always told, you know, there's one manager out there that's the hardest working manager out there, you know, and Ray Dyer said that to me on numerous occasions down here, and you know, and of course we finally sort of met each other, and he came on the show when he was still with Thamesmead, and then came back in here, and he spoke, and I don't know if you've heard the chat we had around himself and what happened.
I've known quite well, so I knew literally this was going on last year. It was starting, there was undercurrent last year.
Yeah, the passion that he spoke with on that night was just absolutely incredible. And to be honest with you, Tony, you know, I know he said that you know, he's gonna get stuff together and we'll follow it up a little bit more. And the amount of people that have contacted me from that show just to say, when's he going to do that? When's he going to do that? Because they were so, you know, sort of pumped up, ready to listen to.
Yeah, but you've got to understand. You've got to understand. For me, I remember old Thamesmead when I first went there as a player. They were just a Kent League side, and you know, always been a decent Kent League side. But I remember we was going for the league with Cray Wanderers, and there wasn't much in it. And the then chairman said, you know, if you finish in the top two, we can go up. And we were like, yeah, all the boys were pushing. We lost the league by 1 point, and then he just come to us and said, our ground's not good enough, we're not going to go up. So we're like, well, what now then? And it was just, that was it. So we all just left, me, Michael Power, you know, we just all went on our own separate ways. And when I come back, Keith was in manager, and he literally single-handedly pulled that club from being a decent Kent League team to, if you look at the growth in there, he got him in, he won the league, he got them into the Ryman League. They struggled. He kept them up. Then a year later, they were in mid-table. A year after that, they were hovering around the playoffs. A year after that, he won the playoffs. So you could see the progression every single year, what he was doing with them. It was only going to go one way with him. And unfortunately, he got led down a blind alley. But, you know, that's his story to tell. But obviously, I knew what had gone on. And, you know, it's shocking when you hear him talk, because I know how much time, money and effort he's put in. And he's literally, I mean, he's been behind the bar. He does everything. So from someone who played for Thamesmead, who's known him a long time, it's hard to see someone go through that and then just have to walk away. He had to walk away. They left him no choice. He, you know, when you're not sleeping and it's causing you that much, he's got a young family, don't need that. I said that to him, just get out of here, you know. And that's not, I don't want to slag Thamesmead off because the new people are going to know. I genuinely wish him all the best. You know, it's not that, but I'm talking about his personal story and his personal journey with the Thamesmead Trust. And I just say that there's many a story to tell, and, you know, it's only right that he tells them stories. But
I think it'd be an amazing book if he wrote a book. I think it'd be something else, to say the least. But BCD itself, I mean, where do we see then this season? I mean, because I know Keith said it as well. You know, we're reckoning possibly only two down in the north, and maybe only three down in the Prem. I mean, where do you feel, you know, you're going to finish at the end of this? Do you think you're going to?
My personal thing on it is this: that we're good enough for this level. I think now, I think as a group, we wasn't good enough for the first 4 months, and I hope our naivety and our start don't come back and cost us. But we've got ourselves in a position now by picking up these points recently where we're in the mix, and there's 11 games to go, and if we can win five of them, I think that'll be enough. As a group, as a club, we went 34 games unbeaten and won 31 of them, so we've got history of doing it. And that's what I said to the boys tonight. We had a players meeting, and I said that we got an history of doing that, and there's no one out there that I fear. There's no one. No matter what team we play now, I know what I've got. We've just got to give it our best. You know, that's my only fear, that our start cost us. I hope not. We'll give everything we've got. If we can stay up, I genuinely believe next year we'll do something. I genuinely 100% believe, because I just think your player knowledge goes through the roof. You know, when you're in the Ryman North, all I'm caring about is the Ryman North. I wouldn't go and watch the Ryman South. I wouldn't go and watch the Ryman Prem. Every game I'm watching is someone I'm about to play, and I'm plotting to beat them. My sole energy is going onto that. Where same thing applies to the Ryman Prem. I can tell you now, every Ryman Prem player who plays left back, right back, this club, and I know who's good, who's available, where's he live, where's he from. So your player recruitment is so much better now. I'm fortunate enough at a club where the chairman has been unbelievable with me. I've never once felt under pressure. I've never once felt I was about to get sacked. And I know it sounds stupid because you think, well, of course you ain't Tony because you got back to that promotion, but there's plenty of chairmen out there who get twitchy and pull the trigger and get some other guy who stands there. So there's plenty, there's unfortunately, there are people, and we've had it, the chairman's told me, there's managers hanging around clubs that they think they're struggling, and they stand in the chairman's ear and start saying about what they would do and how they could do that. And some chairman twitch and then do it, but I've never felt that. He's backed me all the way, even when we was going through the dark stages, when we were losing every game, 4 or 5 in a row. He's always phoned me up and been positive and been ultra supportive. I mean, he ain't give me an extra money to go out and get him to get us that league, nothing like that. I don't want that. But what you want sometimes as a manager is just a chairman to just to reassure you that he believes in you and knows it. Like he said, I know you'll get it right. I know you'll turn this around. That's what he said to me all year round. And when I've got that, I feel that confidence, and I can go and relay that to my players, and we can all play with the freedom and the confidence. You know, sometimes if a manager's under pressure and he feels the pressure, he can become anxious and start snapping at his players become anxious and take it onto the pitch, and you don't get good performance because everyone's too scared of losing before they've even kicked the ball. So I think credit to the club. I knew I was at a good club anyway, if I'm honest, but, you know, like I said earlier, you don't really learn too much. When you're winning, when I was winning leagues and getting them promotion out of Kent League and then won the Ryman, of course they're going to be nice to me and everyone's going to say how good I am and wax lyrical, but you find out about people and the committee and people around you when it ain't gone well and my ideas ain't come off, and when we're trying to play from the back, it ain't worked and someone's nicked it and we've scored and you look like a donut as a manager because you've turned these players to play and it's not on. You're forcing the issue, but they've still stuck by me, and I think what the club have liked as well is the going into other committee rooms and the nice things that other committees have said. I think that's what Gal said, is all seasons everyone has said like a lot of the way we play, and they really hope we stay up, and there's been some really good feedback from that, you know, and I think the club are proud about that. You know, we're all flying the flag as a manager. You know, you're the one representing the club. You know, the team you put out there and the way they behave and perform, you're representing that club. So if in the committee rooms other committees are commending the way you play and conduct yourself, then, you know, it's even more of a thing. Obviously, we're there to win games. Of course we are, but I want the club to be shown in the best light. And at the moment, the feedback we've got from everyone is good.
Well, listen, Tony, you know, time's beating us, but I do wish you all the very, very best, and we'll book you in for the end of April, mate, and when we know we'll have a party. And let's hope that first game of the season next year, it's Arlo versus VCD in the Premier.
Yeah.